Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And we all get by with a little help from our friends. But there are some folks in this community that possibly need more help than others. And so for this next half hour, we're going to talk about how we can make a difference in someone's life, how we can help, and how we can support the organizations that are out there on the front lines. If you've got a question, excuse me, I got a little tick in my throat this morning. 850-437-1620. So happy to have into the studio today Bruce Cady, who was with Opening Doors. They've been on the show a couple times before now. Good morning, Bruce.
Hey,
great
thank
to
you
have
for
you here.
Back.
And he's got a special guest with him this morning, Ms. Connie Bookman. She is the chair of the Homeless Continuum of Care Leadership Council and also the executive director of Pathways for Change. Welcome, Connie.
Thank you.
It's a privilege and an honor to have both of you here this morning. So, Bruce, let's get started. Someone may not even be familiar with Opening Doors and just this concept of continuum of care. So what are we talking about here, and how can we help folks that are in need? And by the way, we're seeing, I'm sure, the numbers increasing, sadly, with everything that's going on right now.
Sure. Well, Meg, thank you once again for having us here today. As I mentioned in one or two of my earlier shows, I'm still new to the community. I'm on my 77th day doing the good work that we do at Opening Doors. And so as I'm learning about the community and I'm learning about the needs here, I'm now in a position where I can start, sharing some of the, some of those things that that I'm finding, and would very much look forward to this show giving us the opportunity to help educate the community about the needs for those experiencing homelessness. Opening Doors of Northwest Florida is a 501c3 nonprofit, and our mission is to support the homeless continuum of care here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. I like to view our role as supporting the all of the wonderful agencies. We have over 75 agencies that are part of the continuum of care, delivering services and all sorts of different aspects that benefit homelessness. We're the mortar and they're the bricks. We're the behind the scenes helping communicate, like helping bring them to the radio. This is mm-hmm. one example of it. Mm-hmm. Making sure the data is collected, making sure the data is available to the community, analyzing the data so we can figure out where the gaps in service are. Because when we find the gaps in service, we then have a mission. We can figure out where it is that we need to focus our efforts and focus our limited resources. And that's where Connie's work is so critical to the work that we do. Mm-hmm. She, as the chair of the Leadership Council for the Continuum of Care, she and her leadership of that Leadership Council is helping basically give me the roadmap. What right. does the community need? Mm-hmm. And then also accountability. The continuum of care, and specifically the Leadership Council, makes sure that everyone is doing the good work. It's effective, it's efficient, and we are not allowing any individual to be left behind.
Well, let's kind of clarify then what you mean by the term continuum of care, because for some folks that may, and what, that sounds good. What does that mean exactly? And either you or Connie can address that. But with 75 agencies, so I sit there and I think, well, that sounds good. That sounds like enough. But it's not quite the right way to look at it, is it?
Well, homelessness is so individual. You know, a homeless individual has a scope of need that is so unique to that person. So that's the tricky part in serving people that are housing insecure or on the street homeless or living in shelters. So Pathways for Change, we've been around 21 years. I could spend a lot of time talking about that amazing organization mm-hmm. that I've been privileged to lead. But I really want to spend time today and how we moved in 2021 through COVID to say, ooh, we can be laser focused on a collective impact model. So Pathways to Change learned about collective impact models in 2010 when we were writing a grant for reentry. Mm-hmm. So what did we need to bring in that $100,000? We needed to start a reentry task force. So I learned all about collective impact, and it's when you take a humongous goal or issue like reentry, someone coming from prison new to our community or getting back in. And, you know, we had 5 subcommittees, 85 people. We worked for 4 years.
Wow.
So the beauty is I already had that experience, and it was November 20, 2020, in my praise and worship during COVID that I finished my, you know, beautiful time with God and read the news journal instead of getting up and doing the 14 things I had planned to do that morning. And it was all about homelessness, first page, mm-hmm. second page, and talked about the issue. And at the end, they said, you know, we're going to create a team. We're going to take a business owner, a Pensacola police officer, and a social worker, and we're going to start interviewing the homeless, and we're going to figure out the needs. And it's like, oh, I gotcha. We've right. done this before. Mm-hmm. And so on November 21st, I started interviewing 250 people over the next 5 months.
Wow.
And placed them on 7 subcommittees, mm-hmm. had the agreement with our Mayor Grover Robinson to be able to be housed at City Hall. So we were a beautiful, safe place for leadership in politics, in the faith community, in nonprofits. And we did amazing, community outreach and in bringing information in. What do you see? What is the scope of your problems with homelessness?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty profound. And the thing is that it's a constantly moving target, right? Because you have so many, it's not just that person that you see on the corner with the sign. There's so many different degrees of people who are as you said, is it homeless, home insecure?
Yes.
The phrase
yes.
that you used.
Heartbreaking.
But things can happen where suddenly a person living paycheck to paycheck, when they don't have it coming anymore, suddenly find themselves in a situation they never imagined for themselves. Mm-hmm. And then you have other people, the reentry. I've seen many documentaries on that, where we send someone that's been in prison for 20 years and they get the shirt on their back and a few dollars. Yeah. Good luck. I mean, there's just so many examples of how people can be thrust into that homelessness. And so I can see why there'd be so many different things. But how do you help someone from beginning to end to actually not just be taken off the street and put in a shelter, which is the first step, but there's so much more to it, isn't there?
Right.
To get them started, to get them self-sufficient again, because I know mental health is also a factor.
Sure. Well, Meg, that's a great question. The model, best practice across the United States, as defined by Housing and Urban Development, and the model that as a continuum of care, we need to follow, there are steps, milestones that individuals need to be helped to cross.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, think about door thresholds.
Yes.
Door thresholds. It starts with street outreach. That's where we earn the trust, and we understand the acute needs of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
We then get them into coordinated entry. Coordinated entry is where they get referred to those supportive services to include emergency shelter or transitional housing. Then they get into emergency shelter, transitional housing. And then they get assisted in rapid rehousing, moving from a shelter or transitional housing into a permanent rental housing. And then the final step is home ownership, allowing that individual to go all the way from housing insecure to being able to build multi-generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the steps. And at each one of the steps, as Connie articulately stated, everyone's different. Everyone's right. unique. And some individuals may have substance abuse issues that are perhaps caused by underlying mental health challenges
right.
and they're self-medicating. So by understanding what those individual issues are 75 member organizations, and each one will have a focus, a piece. Since the problem, like Connie said, the problem is so big, it's not one organization, one group can't solve it.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to focus on areas that they are passionate about. And then, and that's where, you know, under Connie's leadership and our Continuum of Care Leadership Council, we can make sure that everyone is marching in the same direction.
You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. This morning, our guest, Bruce Cady, who is with Opening Doors, and his guest, Connie Bookman, who has several hats that she wears as the executive director of Pathways for Change, and now the coordinator, I guess, and the head person for the Leadership Executive Council for Homelessness here in Pensacola. So if you have a question, 850-437-1620. My question is, and I shared with them before we got on the air, I see homelessness everywhere as I'm driving to and from work, doing my errands, and it breaks my heart. And I sit there and I think, what can I do? What can I do? I feel powerless on what to do that would help and make a difference. I know I can give them a few dollars, and sometimes that's good enough. Some say, don't do that. You never know. There's lots of schools of thought on that. But how can we help? How can our listeners help you? What can we do?
I'll tell you, Clay Romano came up with an amazing opportunity that you can buy these coins that are $10 each that is a pass for one night stay at Waterfront Rescue Mission.
Wow.
So Waterfront, the shelter has to charge, and I think that like $10 is only like a fourth of what it costs for them to actually, you know, be there, be fed, you know, all the operations behind that. But you can purchase coins from Waterfront Rescue Mission and hand that to someone out your window instead of $10. Or, you know, so they have a safe place to stay that night.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful way. There are so many organizations that are focused on one area of homelessness. Donate to them. That's the power there.
Could you give us some examples of some of those organizations?
I'm not going to do that because
they're in trouble.
There are so many, and
seventy-five. You said,
yeah.
Well, and that's where we.
How do I find them? I guess that's the question.
That's where we at Opening Doors can help facilitate. Okay, so we are a nonprofit, so we do fundraise, but our responsibility is help bring as many funds and resources available to the community, to those agencies that are doing good work. Give us a call, go to our website, and let us know what you're passionate about. And then we will share with you the list of all of the member agencies that are local,
mm-hmm.
whether they're a faith-based organization or not, or an arm of the government. We can help you identify what your passion is and match you to that organization within the community that's doing that good work every day.
I love that idea, because one person might be very passionate about veterans. Another person might be concerned about a woman who's in an abusive relationship that now finds herself, has left that situation,
exactly.
but is homeless. Yes. There's so many different types, I guess, of homelessness and reasons for it. So I like that idea of finding the one that you're passionate about. That's a great idea.
And you could call 211. So 211 is our local information resource line,
mm-hmm.
which was a target for our homeless reduction task force in how do we spread the word of 211? So many people don't know. So you just dial simply 211. It's a local number. And then just say, give me some some agencies that support homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way to do that.
So you can use that as an information resource as well as if you are in trouble right now listening.
Yes.
And you need some help, that's also a great place to go.
Correct.
211, because they have all those resources for you as well.
Yes.
And I learned something about the 211 local program here that I think is amazing, and it's a wonderful resource for the community. Our local 211 of Northwest Florida has a dedicated staff. I believe it's three individuals on their staff that are dedicated for homeless or for veterans in crisis, not just homeless,
mm-hmm.
but veterans that might be having issues paying their rent, financial stress, maybe mental health stress. And so they've dedicated staff to support the veterans throughout our community, which we're a military town, so we have, my neighborhood is filled with veterans and active duty service members. So they're a wonderful resource.
Okay, so let's talk again a little bit about this continuum of care and what that concept means. We're talking with our friends from Opening Doors and Pathway for Change, helping to solve the homelessness in our community. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was ever a day that it just didn't exist anymore and we had to abolish all of you?
That's my goal.
With my staff, I start every day reminding them that our job is to do away with our jobs.
Exactly. Love That's it. Exactly right. I love that. So some of the agencies that you've been talking about, talk a little bit about this concept of continuum of care, because maybe people aren't familiar with that idea. It's not enough just to get someone off the street. There's more to it.
Sure. Well, think of it following that milestone model. Street outreach is a very specific talent set of individuals. The training is specialized for crisis de-escalation, trauma-informed care, identifying mental health challenges, identifying potential harm to self or harm to others, and those unique organizations. That's a full-time and a half job for those street outreach individuals. Homelessness is very visible. As you mentioned, before we started the show, you saw an individual on the street in crisis that was homeless. I want your listeners to also understand that there are many people that are homeless and or housing insecure that we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
Their families in their cars, sleeping in Walmart parking lots. They're doubled up, tripled up in houses of relatives or friends. When we look at housing instability, we must not to just focus on the street homelessness.
Correct, because I had someone on the show recently who said that there's 3,000 children that are technically homeless in this community.
That's correct.
And that was just unbelievable. But a lot of them are sleeping, as you said, sleeping on friends' couches, but they don't actually have a home address.
Sure. Well, we spoke earlier in one of the earlier shows about the point in time count,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we as a community do a 24-hour period where we survey as many people experiencing homelessness as possible. It's important to take that data and compare it with the data coming from the school district.
Mm-hmm.
They capture homelessness experienced by students. The community health providers also track homelessness. Education coalitions and service providers track homelessness. So if you piece together all these different data elements,
mm-hmm.
we as a community will have a much better idea of the scope of the problem. And as an example, just one small data point, which I think is important. Just in the month of January, here in Escambia County, we had 1,525 residential evictions.
Wow.
In that same month, or actually on the same day, there were only a little bit over 500 rental properties available that were at an affordable rate.
Comparable to what they were paying before they were evicted.
So think about that.
Gosh.
1,500 families evicted, not enough capacity in the community for them to find housing. And so when we looked at the PIT data, we found that 19% of those individuals that we surveyed were first-time homeless.
Mm-hmm.
They were housed,
mm-hmm.
and now they're not.
Oh my goodness!
And so homelessness has, as Connie said, has so many different variables.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is these are our fellow residents, our citizens in our community.
Well, we just got a text in that from one of our listeners. Jonathan was asking, so where exactly do you buy the coins? I would like to do that. That sounds like a great way to donate and know your donation is making a difference. So
I would call Waterfront Rescue Mission.
Someone may just be joining us, but if you can repeat, Connie, what that is.
So Waterfront Rescue Mission has several shelters. One obviously is the largest in Pensacola, and the charge is $10 a night for a safe place to spend the night with food and
companionship.
Yes, and case management. So you can purchase a $10 coin from Waterfront Rescue Mission. And if you had five of those in your car and, you know, you were led to give someone something, it would be that coin. And then, you know, they've got a safe place to stay that night.
That's a great idea. So they'd have to go to the mission to purchase those in person, or can they purchase them online?
They can purchase them online.
Oh, okay.
And their website is www.waterfrontrescuemission.org.
Okay, excellent. So just a couple of minutes left. Connie, anything else you'd like to add to this discussion?
Well, my heart is broken for those 3,000 children that are cared for every day by our Escambia and Santa Rosa County school navigators.
Mm-hmm.
The navigators know these children, so when they get out of the car, they're wearing the clothes that they wore the day before, and they have fresh clothes for them. They feed them. Gosh. They get them to class. They make sure they have lunch. They make sure they have dinner. And then they see him again the next morning and give them a new outfit so the kids don't make fun of him.
I wasn't aware that existed.
That's
wonderful.
It's brilliant.
Oh, gosh.
Cassandra Manis manages all that. She is an incredible human being. And so I'm wondering where God is leading me with this broken heart for these children and for elderly who lost their spouse and now they've mm-hmm. lost half their income.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're getting evicted. And then what's happening? One of the largest groups are elderly women on the street.
Yes.
Vulnerable. Mm-hmm. My God. So Pathways for Change is grabbing on to what's called YGBI, Yes in God's Backyard. It was a Florida Senate bill that has now been reviewed, and it's now a Florida House bill that requires governments to allow housing built on faith-based institution or educational institution land.
Mm-hmm.
So pastors out there, that's my new draw, is what has God provided you that you don't even have it's not even on your radar. You've got a building you're not using. You've got a huge parking lot that you don't use anymore. How can you partner with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity, who will build on that, or mm-hmm. a developer, or you might want to get in the market and become, you know, a developer. So, and we've got people that can walk you through that. So that's my goal, is affordable housing for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be the beginning, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. That would be very, very important. So just a minute or two left. Anything you want to mention that we haven't talked about this morning, Bruce?
And I think Connie did a great job articulating how us as individuals in this community, through small actions or big actions, can impact the lives of so many people. And so as you're looking at our fellow residents that perhaps are experiencing street homelessness, give them a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Say hello and how are you? You may be the only kind word they get.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that interaction will allow them to move to that next step and get into our homeless service delivery network, so we can move them through those milestones and get them off the streets into permanent housing as members of our community, our friends, and our family.
Okay. I admire you so much, Bruce, and even more now.
Aww.
Because everybody needs eye contact and a smile. It's mm-hmm. like, you matter.
Right.
We all need that.
So I saw a homeless person just yesterday that clearly was not well mentally, was talking to the air, waving his hands. He had nothing on him, not even a backpack or anything. And I thought, my first thought was, who do I call? He clearly needed help.
I would call our local police or sheriff mm-hmm. to say, they probably know the man's name.
Right, right.
You know?
Not unfamiliar to them. Okay, we just ran out of time. Can you give those numbers again and websites so people can contact you?
Sure. Opening Doors can be found at www.openingdoorsnwfl.org.
Okay.
And pathwaysforchange.org.
Okay. Thank you both so much for being here today and for all you do for our community. This is Pep Talk.